Good morning. Welcome to our time of worship. It's so great to be here today worshiping together on this beautiful spring morning. We welcome our speaker, Tom Neufeld, to the pulpit. Tom is an MCC Stewardship Associate for Canadian Food Grains Bank, Grow Hope Niagara, and is also a local farmer in the Vineland area. So we welcome you to our church this morning. Before we begin, I ask that you please read your bulletins carefully for upcoming activities that you might want to take part in. There's lots of opportunities within our own church, the annual MCEC conference later this week, and if you're feeling adventurous, there's an invitation to take part in paddling and hiking the Grand River as a fundraiser for Silver Lake Mennonite Camp. I wanted to make you aware that our church website has a new employment opportunities tab where you'll find a job posting for a youth worker, which would be for the Kids Club, Junior Youth, and Senior Youth programs in our church for a fall startup. So the Christian Formation Committee, along with council, worked to create a posting that we'll be sending out to the local churches and different networks in the coming days. So if you know anyone who might be interested or you just want to check it out yourself, please refer to the website. In preparation for Pastor Randy's retirement, Celebrations Council has purchased this book. It's like a journal. And we thought it would be nice if people could write some nice memories or well wishes on the pages in this book. We'll just start from the beginning and make our way through. And this could be part of a nice keepsake for him. And we will leave that on the back narthex table. The verse on the front says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." So that will be available in the next month or so, two months, for you to sign. So please, we encourage you to do that. And I was also asked to draw your attention to the missing items notice in the bulletin. Items have gone missing from the bulletin board outside the Sunday school office. So if anyone knows their whereabouts, please let Megan Vandenberg know or return them. These items were used as a reference to the Bible stories that the kids have been learning about and all year. So anyways, they have disappeared. So if you have any idea about that, you can let Megan know. And lastly, we're thrilled that Magdalena Neufeld has requested to join our church membership via transfer. We look forward to hearing her statement of faith that will be shared next Sunday. This morning's call to worship comes from Psalm 95, 1-7. "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." I'd invite the worship team up to lead us in singing, "Would You Be Free?" And if you're able, let's stand as we sing together.
Oh, seated.
Let us pray. God of grace, we give you thanks for the opportunity to gather together this morning. Fill us and strengthen and restore us as we come to worship and hear your word. Be with us in our service today. Guide our thoughts and our words and lead us in our time together. May we grow closer to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together, Praise, I Will Praise You, Lord. And then following that, the children are invited to come up for a children's story with Megan after the song.
Friends. Okay, so I have a couple questions for you to start off. My first question is, if he came to our church today, do you think you could recognize him? Could you pick him out of the crowd in the pews? Yes? What else do we say? Evelyn, what's your answer? No? Mason? No? Okay, what do you think Jesus would look like? Do we have some ideas? Do you think he looked like this? Yeah, is that what you pictured? So when I think of Jesus, this is kind of what I think of too. I think of someone who has the long brown hair, he has a beard, he's wearing those flowing robes, and he just looks so calm and peaceful. Now, we aren't exactly sure what Jesus looked like, and people have different things that they said of what he might have looked like or what he might have worn. But if Jesus walked into our church today, how do you think we would treat him? Do you think that if he asked us for help, we would help him? I think so. Maybe if he needed directions to the nursery downstairs, we could tell him where to go and we could lead him downstairs. Or maybe if he was hungry, we could get him to the kitchen and find him something to eat. Of course we would help him. So our Bible verse today, it says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me." Okay, I have a couple more pictures here. This top picture here, who can tell me what's happening in this picture? Yeah, Evelyn. Yeah, there's a little boy, he fell off his bike and he kind of looks sad, right? What about this bottom one? Callum, what's happened in the bottom one there? In this bottom one here, with the girl? She's kind of lonely, she's standing by herself in school, it kind of looks like her friends might be saying some not nice things about her. Okay, what about this top one here, with the boy? Yeah. Oh, maybe he got a bad grade on a test, or he's having some hard times with his schoolwork. Okay, what about this last one? Maybe you've seen this at your house before. It looks like mom is carrying some really heavy laundry upstairs all by herself. So in all of these pictures, these are some of the daily struggles that we have and some of the hard things that people can go through. And these are just regular kids and parents. These are kids that you might have in your class or in your neighborhood, or these might be things that you or your parents do. Now, we certainly wouldn't think of Jesus when we see these people, right? But if they asked us for help, would we help them? If someone fell off their bike, would we help them? Or if someone said something mean? Of course. Now, did you know that Jesus told us when we do things for other people, it's like we're doing things for him? That's kind of crazy, right? In our Bible story today from Matthew, Jesus told the people that whatever they have done to help others, they're actually doing it to help him. So another part of our passage says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." I mean, I think that's pretty amazing. They're saying that if we help other people, we're basically helping Jesus. So it's important to take care of other people because it shows that we love God. He loved us and he has given us all that we could possibly ever need. And because of that, we want to share his love with those around us. So God lets us be part of his plan to serve people. He serves people. He sends people our way who need God's care. And then we have opportunities to help them. Sometimes this means giving, showing people that we're willing to listen to them or saying kind words to people. So we have to keep our eyes open because there's chances all around us to help people and serve Jesus and show God's love. All right, let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for letting us be part of your work. When we serve other people, we serve you. Help us look for ways to help those around us. In your name we pray, amen.
It's interesting, both Brother Elvin and the praise and worship choir, they want to sing, but I believe it's pastoral prayer time. There are some Sunday mornings when before the children's story and after we've sang a song or we've read the scripture and I'm eager to get up and start preaching, my dear wife will put her hand on my leg and say, "Paul, not yet, not yet." So not yet, Elvin. But we are looking forward so much for the praise and worship choir in a few moments. Thank you, Ingrid, for that call to worship. That call to worship this morning from Psalm 95, a psalm that we should just meditate on during the day as we're enjoying the day. You realize that yesterday was Earth Day? Earth Day yesterday. My dear wife was out at the grocery store yesterday morning, and she saw the kids and she saw the adults out picking up garbage and so on, doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that for Earth Day. We celebrated Earth Day yesterday. Let's consider God's incredible work of creation. The psalmist that we read in our call to worship from Psalm 95, "In his hands are the depths of the earth," Psalm 95, verse 4. All of planet Earth contains is in God's hands. The followers, we as followers of Jesus Christ, we who worship the triune God, we who worship our Creator, let's each day not only give thanks for the good earth, but also in practical ways care for it each and every day. In my pastoral prayer this morning, I would like to acknowledge a song slash prayer slash poem that is entitled "Weep for the World" by Christian author and preacher Brian McLaren. I would like to begin with this psalm or this word of prayer from Brian McLaren, "Weep for the World," and then following that, I will continue into our pastoral prayer. Would you please join me in prayer? Let us pray. O Creator God, we weep for the world, being broken apart by humans, foolish humans. Let us grieve the desecration of forest and stream, of glacier and ocean, and humans like us. Let us be mindful of the children being born today in a world torn apart by humans. Let us show our children a more excellent way to walk on the earth and be human, truly human. Let us love this world we've been breaking apart, and let our love bring wholeness, and let us love one another with a compassionate heart, for it is love that makes us human. Let us weep for the world we are breaking apart, so we can love it back to wholeness. Let our hearts be stretched by great sorrow and love, so they will never contract to be less than human. Creator God, you weep at the scorched earth, the polluted streams, lakes, and oceans, and the violence that seems to saturate our human family. In the midst of this darkness, may our faith find tangible ways to shed light and hope and daily care for this precious planet that you have created. We pause and acknowledge the war-torn areas around the world. Particularly do we think of the internal strife and fighting within Sudan, Israel, and Palestine. For those who have suffered loss in Ukraine, we acknowledge, God, that in this world there are bullies. Bullies in our classrooms, in the workplace, on the streets, and yes, even in positions of political leadership. And so we pray, O God, for peace in our day, and that you would grant to us, even as members of this country of Canada, good, sound government, men and women who serve us as political leaders, and those who serve as peace officers on our streets. We ask, God, that you would grant to us as a local family of faith that we might indeed, as Sister Megan has reminded all of us, that we might seek to be the hands and the feet and the love of Jesus to one another. On this morning hour, we pray for Pastor Randy as he would be away from us this weekend. Prepare his mind and his heart and his body as he anticipates the coming to a closure of his serving in pastoral roles. May our minds be filled with pleasant memories as we consider his labor amongst us. We also, God, would pause and acknowledge the faithful work of Brother Aaron and Sister Megan as they have stepped into the gap to give leadership to our youth and children's ministry for this school year. And we do pray indeed that there would be someone who would be prompted by the Spirit of God to investigate the possibility of serving amongst us, our children, and our youth. Guide and direct. May they sense a special calling in this regards. We're counting down the days, God, when Pastor Tim and his little family will be joining us in St. Catharines. And so we pray for that family as they anticipate closure of that ministry that you have called them to in Summit, Nebraska. Guide that congregation as they move forward into this time of seeking your direction. For men and women who serve amongst us, we give thanks. For those who support one another in their serving, in their just being present with others, for those who pray daily for the ministry of this church, may indeed we experience your blessing day by day and week by week. For those who have supported this work through their tithes and offerings, we thank you and pray, God, that the offerings that have been yielded up in the baskets, that these offerings would be used to the glory of God and the extension of the gospel witness in this place. You have brought into our midst today Brother Tom Neufeld, and we thank you, God, for the burdens that are multiple that you have laid on his heart and the work he is doing to represent the good work. Bless him, God, as he would clearly speak to us this day, that we might understand and be moved to action. Bless the ministry in song, the ministry of the word, as it is sung, as it is read during this service. We pray all these things in the name of our great God and our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for the correction. We do often sing right after the children's story, but I did change it a little bit today for our choir. The theme today that our guest Tom Neufeld is going to be speaking about is titled True Evangelical Faith. And there's a really beautiful song by the same title, and these are from the words of Menno Simons back in the 1647 or something like that. That's not in our repertoire. However, we have another song which is right on as well, and if you listen carefully to the words, you'll understand.
Thank you. Morning. The first passage I'm going to be reading is Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. I'm now going to read Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 to 40. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me."
Well, good morning, everyone. It's always good to be here. I have a warm feeling about being in Mennonite churches in the Niagara Peninsula. It's part of my spiritual family. My wife and I, Marianne, we always feel like we are probably the last of the ethnic Russian Mennonites, our generation. We grew up in German-speaking church, spirited low German discussions, and lots of ethnic Russian Mennonite food. It's a good feeling to be part of peoplehood. But being Mennonite today is about understanding what it means to be Anabaptist. The theology of our community is the more important piece of our identity and one that exhibits genuine witness. Well, this week with all the nice warm spring weather, and actually the week prior to that as well, I was reminded again of my forebears as I began to plant potatoes on the farm. I've been doing this for more than 50 years, and every year I remember how our whole family would get started with the farm year planting the first potatoes. It's a task that requires lots of labor, and it's a dusty, dirty job getting the potatoes into the potato planter. It's an old two-row piece that works quite efficiently, actually. And there's lots of soil and dirt on the potatoes. I also need to check the ground to see if I have the seed deep enough in the soil. I need to check to see if the depth is correct, making sure that I get that right. It's a skill of sorts, getting it right. And I want to ensure that my field will bear the fruit of my labor, beautiful early new potatoes in June, hopefully for Father's Day. This is a routine and a discipline that I have learned that demonstrates my farmer identity. And there are other hallmarks of it as well, working with the cattle, planting wheat in the fall, combining corn in the fall. All these things, they add up to who I am. It's what I do. And getting it right means that I will get dirt under my fingernails. I like to think of MCC, Mennonite Central Committee, as an institution that gets it right. MCC is doing all kinds of things that promote and advance peace and justice in our world, and we are all part of that effort. So I'd like to articulate that vision this morning, how that type of creative institution came into existence. Now, today in your bulletin, there's what color is this? Mauve? I don't know what the right color is. Insert, and I'm glad to see that it's in there. And it's a quote from a Reformationist ex-Catholic priest, Menno Siemens, and we all know who that is. His influence during the Reformation after 1536 was prominent in that Anabaptist movement, and it led for our community to be named after him. He was an extensive writer, and he had studied Latin and Greek in his preparation for the priesthood. This made him more familiar with Scripture in his time, and it gave him the capacity to read and study its meaning. After Menno's brother was caught up in Reformationist fervor, he was killed in a violent uprising against the Catholic Church. And this gave Menno time for pause, and he found himself refocusing. It became clear to him that the peace principle and nonviolence were to be primary tenets of the Anabaptist faith, along with adult baptism. Menno wanted to get it right. What would be the authentic Christian expression? Well, the quote that you have in your hands is one of his most well-known citations. He was inspired by Matthew 25, 35, 40, which was previously read. This was also a central part of the MCC inspiration. It was foundational in its earliest conception as a non-government organization way back in 1920. Mennonite Central Committee shares God's love and compassion for all in the name of Christ by responding to basic human needs and working for peace and justice. Let's hear that again, a succinct but clear understanding of who we are as Mennonite Central Committee. MCC shares God's love and compassion for all in the name of Christ by responding to basic human needs and working for peace and justice. So to trace this model of ministry back to our early Anabaptist forebears, this element of true evangelical determination is part of our historical DNA. Menno Siemens' writings seeks, serves, and fears God, clothes the naked, feeds the hungry, consoles the afflicted, shelters the miserable, aids and consoles all the oppressed, returns good for evil, serves those that injure it, prays for those that persecute it. And so you can read on. Take some time to read it over this week. 1539 is a long time ago, but the weight of this message rings so true for us even today. If our faith is to be relevant, it should impact the world in demonstrative, Christ-like service. This imperative for evangelical faith seems to carry a challenge that Christians will need to get dirt under their fingernails. It isn't just about sharing your faith. It can be a simple exercise to share your faith verbally or any other interest that you may have. But rather, it's about living it. It's about discipleship. And this is where the much harder work is required. We are contested to live a life that is counterculture to the norm of our society, embracing the so-called upside-down kingdom. It causes us to focus on different priorities, distinctive ideals, unique principles, and choosing to live otherwise in comparison to common culture. And this moves way beyond the impulse to be saved. Way beyond. It becomes a choice to live a distinguishing way of life, the way of Christ Jesus. When my wife, Marianne, and I were in Calcutta some years ago on a Canadian Food Grains Bank study tour, we had the privilege of meeting Mother Teresa at her compound. And there you'll see her in the picture in the middle of that shot. Al Dirksen, who was then the Canadian Food Grains Bank director in Canada, had once been the Mennonite Central Committee country rep in India and had brokered many cooperative initiatives with her Sisters of Charity. So he knew her well. He arranged for us to visit her. She was an ancient soul already, but she came into the room with energy and focus. She outlined how Christian service should always be the hallmark of a life of discipleship. And I still remember her words, "Spread the gospel use words if necessary. She too understood Menno's directive about true evangelical faith. Her statement is a souvenir memorandum that has been with me for a long time. It resonates with me that service witness impacts the world in the most meaningful way. That food study tour did transform my thinking. We need to do more with our lives to reflect the gospel message. So how can we impact our world with this message of Jesus? Not by simply talking about it, but representing it in action. We can think of new ways to exhibit the upside-down kingdom. And I like to think that this is a space for dreamers to contemplate. How can we make this most effective, making a difference in our world? I am old enough to remember a certain civil rights leader in the 1960s who made a powerful speech way back in 1963. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech is one of the most remembered 20th century proclamations. It was a vision that he had for equality between black and white American people in the United States. And as a kid, I thought that he'd really had a dream at night and was telling us about it. And maybe he did. Perhaps that precious ideal, that wonderful objective of equality for all, was dreamed many times by black America. I was recently in Memphis, Tennessee, this past March, and I stood directly in the spot where Martin Luther King was shot. It was a bit of an emotional moment for me as I remember the impact that that event had on the American civil rights struggle. Martin Luther King's expression of nonviolent protest was modeled after Jesus Christ's example of peace. His protest against prejudice was anything but passive. It was activist. Provocative protest brought him jail time, conflict with state powers, and ultimately threats unto death. King's Southern Christian Leadership Conference was an active representation, a demonstration of Christian conviction. It wasn't an idea to be talked about, it was put into action. And they got more than dirt under their fingernails. Some of them were taken unto death. As we can see in recent events in the United States, it is still a work in progress. It is a dream in the process of becoming. Even if it is disappointing, it is moving forward. A few years ago in our church in Vineland, First Mennonite Church, we decided to take on a refugee hardship case. We had done many cases before, and they had all been straightforward MCC sponsorship expressions. Some of them were relatively easy in terms of bringing a young couple to Canada with some little kids. Presently, we have such a young couple from Afghanistan with a young child who arrived just 3 weeks ago. And given the labor market and the madness that's happening now after COVID-19, he's already working here in the city of St. Catharines. Wonderful success story. But the ambition to tackle a difficult case was an aspiration to do this service with a much greater challenge, and so it was. The mother of this family community from the Congo was very ill upon arrival. Eventually, we determined that she had ALS, and it was a slow, deteriorative end for her. She died at Christmas 2021 after nearly 3 years of slow, agonizing decline. The case was further complicated with the father of this family showing up from Newfoundland in the first year, and they hadn't seen him in years. This muddled the issue for the family because he was not firmly connected to them anymore and yet now wanted to take charge. So this wasn't really a dream that was appealing for us, as dreams often are. It became a real struggle. And we had to follow through with our Christian objective to do the best we could with all the variables. We're still trying to get the daughter's husband here to Canada. This was work, and we did it because it's who we are, and we felt the dirt under our fingernails. I've been here before to talk about MCC and the Canadian Food Grains Bank with you, and you've heard me tell the story of the dreamers who created the Food Grains Bank out of the Brain Trust of Mennonite Central Committee. And that happened in 1983. Actually, the late 70s is when it started. But a creative and accelerated response was the Canadian Food Grains Bank to the plight of those who, through weather calamity, war, or conflict, found themselves deprived of food resources. This is a place where MCC had a long track record of making a difference, but this one meant that things would happen faster. There are many of us here who have a connection to food deprivation in our past. I am one of them. My father himself was rescued from famine in the 1920s as a child because of MCC. It's something that we do know about in our family histories. Food security is a delicate thing. Even here in our comfort of Canadian affluence, it would probably take little time for food resources to tighten if a production problem were to arise. Our urban centers are reliant on supply chains and trade that is vulnerable to disruption if war or drastic climatic change were to take effect. Perhaps this is becoming more recognizable after COVID-19 has shifted our thinking about supply chains. And certainly the recent war in Ukraine reveals how quickly our world economies can change and be impacted. This is changing the food situation for millions of people who rely on foodstuffs from that region of Ukraine and South Russia. Jesus confronts his disciples with a food shortage situation that he wants them to deal with in Matthew 14. Please allow me this morning to tell you the story from a different angle than you may have heard before. The feeding of the 5,000 is a story of food justice that is well remembered by all of us from childhood on. It's recorded in every gospel, and biblical scholars are quick to recognize this event as one of the most authentic incidents of Christ's ministry. The only gospel that tells of the child donating the food is the Gospel of John, but everyone mentions the small volume of food that was offered. So let's look at the situation for a moment. 5,000 people late in the evening, no food or lodging. This is a bad dream, not a good dream. How would you manage this problem, disciples? They want them all to back away and send the problem away with them. Everybody disperse, the meeting with Jesus is over. Some of the other gospel accounts go as far as to say that the cost to feed this volume of people would have been 8 months' wages. So that's a pretty big church banquet hall, isn't it? Try to visualize 5,000 people in close quarters, say in a small arena. A modern arena in St. Catharines, the Meridian Center, is where the junior A hockey team Ice Dogs play. I've been there many times, and I bet a bunch of you have too. At capacity, it holds 5,300 people, and you can hardly find a parking space during a game night. When the game is over, there's a huge crowd roaming around the city trying to get all out at once, and 5,000 people is a lot of footsteps. So we've got an image of what that size of a crowd is. It's a big one. So what's Jesus' recommendation to the disciples? In Matthew chapter 14, as you heard this morning, Jesus says, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." The followers of Jesus are reminded to creatively think about solutions to a hunger problem. Well, we live in a world now with about 8 billion people. That's a lot more than 5,000. And a lot of them live in food insecurity. Think about this story and Jesus talking to us, not the disciples. He's suggesting we solve this problem of hunger in the world. The developing world is much like that crowd of 5,000 people Jesus had before him 2,000 years ago. We are the affluent Western countries that have all the resources to share, but are largely indifferent to the plight of the disadvantaged. This is both in the third world in our own backyard here in Canada, whether that is in our own communities where poor people are living among us, or perhaps the Indigenous communities in Canada that are impoverished and neglected in terms of clean water, education, and other basic services. Look around, it's easy to find people that are hurting. There was a miracle performed by Jesus that day so many years ago. when people were hungry. I was once under the impression that Jesus did a presto change-o mega food multiplication act, a stunt. And believe me, I don't doubt for a moment that that could have actually happened that day. But maybe something just as miraculous transpired, perhaps just as phenomenal. A young boy comes forward with food to share. Someone was willing to be generous. Someone had packed a lunch for him, and probably many others in the crowd had food with them too. Could it be the miraculous was the encouragement to share resources that day? To share with those that did not have enough? Maybe it was the crowd deciding to care for each other. Persuasion to share. This rendition of the feeding of the 5,000 is more appealing to me than a multiplication zap from Jesus. It is the awareness that the selfish focus of our consumerist lifestyle needs to be countered by a different kind of zap, a different kind of realization, a transformation, a new ethic. The generous principle needs to be awakened from its sleep. We need to choose to live differently. True evangelical faith changes our motivation. It is a dream in the process of becoming. This morning, I want you to think about how you can contribute to this action of MCC's mission. The war in Ukraine is presently causing food shortages with a disruption of grain exports from that region. It will accelerate in the coming year with even greater severity. Wheat is a primary food stock for a number of countries that rely on Ukrainian-Russian sources. Somalia, Benin, Laos, Egypt, and now the chaos of Sudan, Senegal, and Tanzania import vast amounts of wheat from this region specifically. There will be other shortages too of canola oil, and one that's quite independently unique to Ukraine is corn. It is one of the only places in Asia that grows corn effectively. And so this will also extend to South Asia and the Middle East. Canadian Food Grains Bank, together with MCC, will be working to deal with the food crisis as it fast tracks in the coming years, and believe me, it will. Today, I would like to encourage you to contribute to Grow Hope Niagara, the grain growing project, as a way of working with this problem. I know that some of you are already regular donors to this initiative. It is a significant boost to MCC's fundraising events in Ontario. As you have already seen, it's close by on Tintern Road, not far from my farm, close to Camden. And I suppose that some of you have probably driven by there and seen that. In recent years, our agricultural expenditures have soared with a global crisis of grain reserves and the inputs that are required to grow these grains. The area churches have covered our expenses and responded well, and we have had good returns. But it is our hope that this will continue to increase because the needs are increasing, as are our costs. I would like to show you at this time a bird's eye view of the Grow Hope field in Camden. I hope it will inspire you to support it this year. You can make donations through the church by marking your donation, Mennonite Central Committee, Grow Hope Niagara. So let's have a peek at the field. I did a drone photography stunt with it this year, and it really gives you an idea of what it looks like from the air. Here we go.
This is Grow Hope Niagara, a 42-acre plot of land near Camden, Ontario, that has been feeding hungry people around the world for 25 years. Grow Hope Niagara is worked and managed by Larry Dick and his family. The land itself was generously donated by Bethesda Home, a community that supports and empowers children, youth, and adults with special needs. In 2022, the field was planted with corn. The corn was harvested and sold at market value. The net proceeds of this year's corn harvest alone brought in over $48,000, and the total since 2016 from Grow Hope Niagara is over $173,000. These proceeds are donated through MCC's partner, Canadian Food Grains Bank, or CFGB, where it can be matched by federal government funding to multiply the impact many times. At a time when food insecurity is increasing around the world, these funds will provide food aid and support development projects to feed hundreds of thousands of hungry people around the world. Help us work toward a world without hunger by supporting Grow Hope. For more information, go to mcco.ca/growhope or contact Tom Neufeld at thomasneufeld@mcco.ca or 905-941-0179.
So that was actually a fun time filming that. We wanted to get the drone as close as we could to the combine a number of times. It just about swallowed it. So anyway, this year we're going to be putting soybeans on that field, and we're hoping for another good year. I was going to entitle this meditation, Living the Dream, or maybe Dirt Under the Fingernails. I like those catchphrases, and they're trivial, and we hear them on occasion, often part of perhaps a shallow joke. So instead, I went with the Menno Siemens quote. You might want to put that quote on your fridge this week and read it over again a few times. It's really a challenge for us to consider a creative, intentional possibility that we can imagine as Christian community. Dream about what could be, what should be, and how we, with God's help, can make it be. It's how Mennonite Central Committee began. It's how Canadian Food Grains Bank was born, and how you can be a contributive part of that dream, a dream that is in the process of becoming. Let's pray. Gracious God, may we consider generous thoughts. May we employ creative thinking. May we exercise discipleship and service ministry. Give us the will to make a difference in a world of hurt, in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Tom, for the challenge to get dirt under our fingernails when we spread the word of God. Let's stand together and sing today, and let's make it a personal statement as we're singing. Today, I choose to follow you.
Yeah, just one word. Tom and I, we spoke before the service this morning, and so I'm going to talk to council about putting something in our bulletin that we can also add this into our program. Sorry.
As for me and my house, we will spend our to hear your voice and live today. I choose to follow you.
I would echo the comments of others. Thank you so much, Tom, for your ministry, the information that you shared with us. May we be burdened to continue to support the work of MCC and Canadian Food Grains Banks. Would you please, just following the benediction, allow Tom an opportunity to go out into the foyer so that you can meet and chat with him. Let us pray our benediction. As the deer longs for the water, so longs my soul for you, O God. My soul is athirst for God, athirst for the living God. As we leave this place, grant us your peace through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Go in peace.